step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, Vern, I'm going to explain this one more time. It's my new movie, Ernest Goes to School, and it's a whole lot of fun, and here's my locker, and the football team, and cafeteria food, and Vern, they actually let me handle some real books. Vern, if you got any more chalk, it's okay. I'll just use this pen. See, what we're... Oh, yeah. Ew. Doesn't that sound awful? It kind of reminds you of this.
Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships, one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We are part of the Main Damie Network, and to find more from us, check out the website at themaindamie.com or on Twitter and Facebook at The Main Damie. Welcome back to They Call This a Movie. This is Anthony Delvecchio, and with me, as always, is Dan Aquino and Mark Meyer. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Here come the muskrats. Here come the muskrats. Hello.
Keep going.
I can't remember any other part of the song.
You don't remember all the lyrics to the muskrat fight song?
Nope. And I'm happy I don't, because it is the type of thing I would know and hate myself for.
Mm-hmm. As Mark has alluded to, this movie... This is probably the worst movie we've watched together.
Yes.
And that's we are, just to set it up, this week is the week that Kevin Hart's Night School is coming out.
Yes.
So we decided that we were going to
I like to think of it more as Tiffany Haddish's Night School.
Sure, why not?
But that's just because I like to... disown Kevin Hart as much as I can, being a fellow Philadelphian.
Yes. There's a market for him, I guess. I don't think I've ever met anybody that says they like Kevin Hart.
Yeah, he's got a couple.
Who have you been asking it?
Oh,
who
you know.
Who have you been talking to?
you guys mostly.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got a couple good bits, but
I don't really have many. I don't have any friends. It's you guys, and that's about it.
Well, you know, again, I'm not. You do the math, but what kind of, you know, who are we? If you know what I mean. Wink, wink.
Yeah. we're movie snobs, I guess. Yeah. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, I should like him.
Bingo.
Because he's from where I'm from, but he's kind of one of the more annoying Philadelphia celebrities.
Yeah. Is there anything more Philadelphian than to hate your fellow Philadelphian?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go to bat for him. If anybody talks shit about him, I'll defend him, but I can talk shit.
The city of brotherly love.
Yeah, so as I said, Night School is coming out this week. So we had to scour the internet looking for a worthwhile school movie to discuss. I guess we could have done Billy Madison now that I think of it.
No.
That's not a
bad
movie, though.
It's too good.
Too good.
Yeah, I think if you ask people, that's probably, they'd call that a, you know, quote unquote classic.
Okay. So, well, anyway, we scoured the internet and luckily, I guess, or not unluckily, we found a movie that prevented us from having to watch one of the High School Musical movies.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
That's and that good. Movie is Ernest Goes to School.
If we did any production on this, that's when we put in the Muskrat fight song.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gotta get Jen on that.
Which must have been the only piece of music that they were able to pay for, because outside of all the others,
wrote it. No.
No.
Probably.
Well, no, I mean, Stars and Stripes. Somebody to do, like, you know, because you. Whoever wrote it probably didn't cost as much as actually buying a actual licensed song. The other stuff is like public domain, right? The other songs they played?
Well, what other songs were really played? Well,
Stars and Stripes, right?
Right. Yeah, that's public domain.
And whatever, I recognize a couple of those songs, but I don't know the names. When he was, as we'll get to, when he was delaying late in the movie and they were playing all those, I think were all public domain songs. So
aren't most marching band songs?
Like, yeah, that's
for the most
I mean.
Part.
Yeah,
aren't most of them like public domain anyway?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like I they imagine. Spent zero money on music budget.
And there's a music. Shows. There is a music department in this movie for this movie. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Ernest Goes to School is from 1994, directed by Coke Sams. The famous Coke Sams, who is not the director of the Jim Varney Ernest movies that you probably grew up on and at least have some sort of opinion on them. So, guys, speaking of, what was your feelings or how did you grow up on Ernest movies? Like, what's your experience with Ernest movies?
I did. We were talking about it before. Recording, Mark and I both watched Ernest Saves Christmas. It's not the best Christmas movie, but it's a decent Christmas watch. I'll watch it every Christmas usually. And, I like to watch Ernest Scared Stupid. That's probably the top tier, I guess, of Ernest movies. So I kind of grew up on them, sure.
Yeah. And yeah, I grew up. I actually got a funny Ernest connection. When they opened the movie theater down in my neighborhood here, back when it first came out, I put in one of those things in a newspaper contest to win free tickets, and then I ended up winning, and I had the choice of seeing Ernest Scared Stupid or I think it's All Dogs Go to Heaven 2. I think those are the two choices. It was an animated like pet movie. So okay. I don't know if it was All Dogs Coming, but it was like, and I was immediately like, no, Ernest. I will go see Ernest. And I think you made the right choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've seen that. I did the, I've watched the Christmas one a bunch, and I did it, you know, as part of the 25 Days of Christmas for the site before I ran out of differing Christmas movies since all the Hallmark ones are the same. And it's just repeats to be able to do a segment like that. It's not like 31 Days of Horror.
Right.
And, I think I've seen Go to Jail once or twice. And then the only other one I know of, is there an Army one?
Yeah.
Ernest in the Army.
Yeah.
That's a more recent one.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I've seen when they talk about Jim Varney and the Ernest character, I've seen him in an Army fatigues. So mm-hmm.
That I believe is the last theatrical, Ernest movie.
Yeah.
Was that late 90s?
1998. Actually, it might not have been it might not have been in theaters, but it's like the last one. It's the last Ernest movie, I should say.
Yeah.
Yes. That went direct to video.
Yeah. So like I had said before, you know, we all mentioned growing up with it, but as you look back now, Ernest is a very much a time and place type of character. I don't know. There's not comedies like that anymore where it's fixated on a single character, right? I can't think of. I'm probably blanking on it.
Madea,
yeah. Yeah, that's probably it, right? Like, that type of, you know, seems like that was a relic of, you know, the 80s, 90s, and I guess if you want to stretch back, I don't know how far back that whole skit thing, Dorf or whatever.
So you mean there's no, like, supporting characters, really? Is that
No, meaning, like, the character does something, this character in, you know, like,
oh god, yeah,
you know,
okay,
like,
sure.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be something, and you can see why, because, you know, I think most of that stuff probably goes to TV now, you know, with sitcoms.
Right. Because, you know, like, Eddie Murphy kind of got in on that.
Yeah.
You know, with the clumps, and then Martin Lawrence.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but you can, but more like the singular focused, you know, character is the name of the show or mm-hmm. movie isn't,
right.
you know, something very popular nowadays. But even in content, Ernest, I could tell you that that movie was definitely written at least early 90s and was probably one of the scripts just sitting around because a couple of the references in it, which we'll get to, I guess, when we break down the plot. But, you know, it is a very time and place character and type of movie.
Yeah, that's something I don't think we'll ever see. He was based off of a commercial. I think he did Mellow Yellow.
Yeah, he definitely did a bunch of commercials.
Yeah.
I remember going to see Ernest Scared Stupid in theaters.
Yeah.
I remember specifically, you know, going up to the ticket taker, and my dad was like, "Can I get 4 tickets to Stupid Ernest?" And then, like, turned around and just eye rolled at me because I was making, like, the family go see it. Although I'm pretty sure my sister wanted to see it too.
Oh yeah, that's definitely
and
sounds like.
And arguably, Ernest Scared Stupid is the best of the Ernest movies.
You showed your dad.
Yeah.
Take that.
Take that. but I definitely saw Ernest Saves Christmas and Goes to Jail and Goes to Camp when I was a kid. I think those were the only ones that I had seen. But yeah,
I don't think I saw any of them in theaters.
Oh no, I only saw Scared Stupid in theaters. The other ones I think I rented.
Yeah, same here.
I saw Scared Stupid at John's house. That's all I remember.
What'd John think of it?
He loved it. He's like, you gotta watch this movie, man. It's great, bro.
I love how, like, all the impressions of people that we know
are
Southern accents. Yes.
Why don't you come on over, bro? Watch Ernest Scared Stupid.
So, yes, Ernest Goes to School, as I mentioned, probably it could be the worst movie that we've seen so far. So let's not waste any more time, and let's get right into the plot. Dan, you described the plot of Species.
I did
it in like under 5 minutes, which was much appreciated.
You got it.
So this week we're going to go to Mark.
Hunker down, folks.
All
Mark,
right.
Why don't you describe the plot of Ernest Goes to School and Try Not to Kill Us?
So the great thing about this is that it is a very straightforward movie.
It all started back in 1980. No, don't kid.
Yeah. So the movie opens. You follow Ernest as he's, you know, walking through the school, you know, so they make you know that it's an Ernest movie. And, you know, he walks through, you know, the football field and, you know, kind of gets you an idea that you're on a high school campus. And then it, the first main plot of the movie is for some reason he goes into this bathroom, which I'm assuming he's supposed to be fixing a leak, and he plugs it with a cork, the faucet, puts electrical tape around it, and then turns the water on. And thinking that would fix whatever was going on. And then they just do a fire hose gag where he gets, you know, hit with the fire hose of water, you know, goes to the wall and then fights it back. And then when he plugs it, you know, slowly but surely little bits pop out. And then all of a sudden there's a big giant leak. And, you know, Ernest didn't end up fixing anything, but somehow the campus mechanic or, you know, janitor sort of thing. And then
classic Ernest.
Yeah, classic Ernest. Then we go into what's the actual only plot of the movie, really, we go into the principal's office and, you know, you meet the slimy guy from the school board, which you can tell right away. He looks a lot more well-dressed than the principal, so you know he's up to no good. And he says that, you know, all employees must have a high school diploma, which, you know, to work there, and that if their school doesn't straighten up and get better, they might close and combine with the other high school in the area. And needless to say, Ernest does not have a high school diploma. So for some reason, he gets on the accelerated program that is used later on by Billy Madison to get a degree, where I guess he's going to get it in 4 weeks, if I remember the time frame correctly. And then it's just a, from there he goes, it does the normal thing that, you know, these type of movies do. He goes in, he gets, you know, made fun of and picked on, you know, by the jocks in the school, and then, you know, the smart kids, you know, are, you know, kind of feel bad for him, and he's really dumb in class and doesn't really know anything, and then he's like, the only people he really befriends, you know, are these two scientists, which I think they come from Russia or Germany?
I think they're German.
German? They're German? Okay.
At least she is. Goethe and Bobby.
Yeah, so that's definitely German. Bobby
is probably American.
Bobby is the mute one that's in all his other movies.
Yeah, he's friends with Vern. No, he's friends with the big guy.
Yeah, I don't remember what the big guy's name is. I'll find it. Yeah.
Neither do I.
Yeah, so, you know, he, you know, they foreshadow that by showing that he's friends with them in class. And then, you know, so he goes through a bunch of things and he fails really miserable at it. And he gets pulled into the principal's office and he goes, oh, it's not going to work out, blah, blah, blah. And then Ernest begs and begs and begs. And then, you know, he goes, okay, I'll give you one more week. Like, that's going to be enough time to prove what he needs to prove. But anyway, like many things in this movie, it does not make sense.
But it actually makes more sense than Billy Madison, to be honest with you. Yeah. Or at least there's more, there's stakes involved in this whole experiment.
Right. It's like his job.
Yeah. You gotta save your job, versus, this is going to be a fun couple of weeks, isn't it, everybody?
Right.
So as he's feeling morally dejected, and not knowing what to do, all of a sudden apparently the scientists have built a secret lab inside a locker.
As one does.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Which is, I don't know if it's a room in the school or that locker is the TARDIS. So I'm not really exactly sure what's going on there.
You know, this is the second podcast in a row you've made a Doctor Who reference, and I need to stop this here and right now.
This one actually makes
sense.
There
will be no more Doctor Who talk for the rest of these podcasts.
Well,
that's a fair rule, I think. We're alienating our demographic here. No one likes Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That in the motherland.
Yeah.
Need that over here in the States.
So he goes inside the locker, and they have seemingly made a very, very 80s/early 90s scientific equipment looking setup that apparently makes supposed to make people smarter, and Ernest's brain is just small enough that it won't do any harm and it'll just make him smart. So he goes in there, but the problem is that it only lasts for 45 minutes.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Roughly, I think is what they said. So he has to go in and recharge between every class. So from here on out, it's a montage. A very long and boring montage. Of him being pretty much a dick and smart and good at everything. Which, apparently... just being smart makes you good at all subjects, good at every instrument,
right.
And also good at catching a football and throwing a football.
At
really
sports.
Well. Yeah,
sports. Being smart has nothing to do with being good at sports, as I can attest to. I'm an idiot. I was pretty good at baseball.
Yeah,
that's about it.
And goes through, and he apparently this is the point when we meet. I guess, which is the B-plot love interest story with him and the band, the new band director, who I guess I don't even know if they date at the end. I forget how the end of the movie went. But so
they're supposed to go to a dance after the final football game.
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
No, because as we get to that, that's when he has the... the moral conundrum comes because he fails. But so he leads through, he makes the band really good, makes them good at playing Stars and Stripes. And then for some reason that's going to help the school stay open if they're really good at that. And he gives out a stupid line, which is foreshadowing for when they fail. His thing is saying, look at me. If you're ever scared or nervous, look at me. So when... they actually go and do the performance. His smart juice wears off. And
it's like Space Jam, Michael's secret stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. we all know what that is.
Yep.
So
gambling addiction
in a bottle. So, it starts to wear off. And so he goes, to get it. Re-upped or recharged, I think they say later in the movie. And he finds out that the two jocks who had spied him walking into the locker had gone in and destroyed all the equipment somehow. Because I don't know if this was an error on the script coordinator's part, but beforehand the locker used to have no lock on it. And then the last time he goes in there, he undoes a lock and then goes in. So, theoretically, if you're going by that, he would have had to have put the lock back on, which how would they have gotten in? But anyway, I'm thinking way too much about an Ernest movie.
This fucking movie's bullshit.
you're giving this movie too much credit.
Way too much credit.
Yeah.
The script coordinator got bored.
You're talking about a movie where a cowboy shows up for no reason.
For no reason.
And
not
is never seen again.
Not just any cowboy. That cowboy is played by none other than... David Keith.
Yeah.
Is that David Keith?
Yep. Jack Parkman himself.
Yeah.
That was him?
Squint Westwood is the name of the character.
That's amazing. All right. So, you're talking about a movie where David Keith as a cowboy shows up and then is never referenced again.
Yeah. It would have been great if later on in the movie Keith David showed up.
Right. I thought that would be his, guiding spirit or something like that,
No.
But you can do it, Ernest. I have faith in you.
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
Yeah. So
I want to say that it probably connects another Ernest movie, but I have no idea if that's true or not.
Probably. I could not tell you.
Yeah. So after he is unable to do it, he goes out and he tries to lead the band. And at first, they're really good. And then, with Ernest not really knowing what he's doing with the, the sticks. Which later on comes back to, we'll get there, they totally gloss over that for means of the next part of the movie. So he screws up. He gets caught on a thing that's getting raised behind them. So they start screwing up because they start trying to do the motions he's doing as he's, you know, flailing. And then he ends up inside a tuba. And then at that point, you know, he thinks it's all over. And he goes and starts talking to his tools. And that's when we haven't mentioned where Scrub's own Sarah Chalk shows up and finally gets involved in the plot outside of just being there for a line, one or two lines in the moments before. And her and the other two smart kids, the redheaded guy and the...
You mean nerds?
Nerds. And then the one kid that you have to have in every high school movie in this time period, the one that does the announcements, and he's crazy and wacky about it.
Oh, yeah.
So, the three of them try and help Ernest, and apparently he's way more of an idiot than we could even imagine, and I don't know how that section of the movie was even supposed to be funny. I'm assuming that montage is supposed to have you belly laughing, that he doesn't know who shot Lincoln, and, you know, yeah. And he keeps saying, are you sure it wasn't?
You know, penguin.
The penguin, you know, so.
Which would be pretty funny if that's what how history unfolded, but.
Yeah, but, you know, so it goes through that montage and then he gets ready to take the final test, you know, to graduate. And then he gets tempted with, they fixed the smart machine and should he do the smart machine? And then he decides not to because, you know, that's what these movies are like. And then he goes in and for some reason he has trouble. With the pencil and the ripping the tag off. For some reason, his turns into rubber and stretches all over. And then also the teacher is a lizard person, apparently, because she catches the fly out of the air with her tongue. I don't know what that was about.
I guess it's just his imagination running wild.
Yeah, so anyway, so he gets through the test, and then they move on to the big football game. And then this is where... You know, this is when you get the full plot of the evil school board guy comes into motion. You find out that he's watching it with, like, the head of the school board, along with the principal of Ernest's school. And
Chickasaw Falls High School.
Chickasaw Falls. So, home of the Muskrats. So you find out, you know, they're going through and he's like, well, you know, keeping schools open we keep schools open that have winners that win state championships or some dumb nonsense, that they talk to the head of school board. So that gives the evil guy an idea. He goes and talks to probably the most moronic coach I've ever seen in a high school movie, over there and convinces him to throw the game because he would guarantee him a job at the combined high school, even though the coach on the other team is undefeated. So why would he fire him?
Right.
But again, dumbest coach imaginable. And one of the nerds overhears it and then gets trapped in a locker, which looks open. But I don't know.
You're really focused on the locks on these doors in this movie, huh?
I don't know. It bothers me, but
I guess you got to pay attention to something.
Yeah. This is like some weird OCD stuff, Mark.
Yeah. It's like, come on, man.
Mark always notices locks because he has to unlock and lock his door 10 times before he leaves.
Yeah. No, it's because I unlock
and
lock doors
making sense now.
15 to 20 times a day. So I notice.
You do have
Oh, that's right. He has a weird thing about doors. That's actually true, especially in the car.
You do have... I guess you have a very intimate relationship with locks.
Yes.
So
I deal with
I'll let
lot.
You pass. That's all right. You get it for this one, Mark.
Yeah. So the guy gets stuck in there till halftime. Conveniently enough, after the coach throws the game, which I guess they're portraying these jocks as complete morons because you know, if a coach decides the strategy is to throw the ball to the other team, you think the players would, you know, say something? Go, hey, coach, maybe we shouldn't do that.
How about no, coach?
I want to win this game, coach. So
This could be the last time I ever play football, Coach.
I'd like to win this game.
Yeah, I'd like to go out on top if possible. Thanks.
It gets to halftime, and then the band devises a plan, because apparently the band really wants to win this football game as well. Finding out that must be the one trigger to keep the school open. I don't know how they would have pieced all that together.
Jocks and nerds putting aside their differences.
Yeah. So, well, not really.
No, they poison the jocks.
Oh, okay. Then they don't put aside their differences.
Somebody stopped watching.
No.
So they go in and they use sleeping gas
over the rest
to put the jocks to sleep. I'm informing Dan of this for the first time. And the sleeping gas knocks out the entire football team. And then they go in, and the band apparently now has enough members to field a football team, while Ernest is outside with another group of band people playing all these different types of songs to waste time. You would think someone would notice after a while. And also, when did they have the time to practice all this stuff when they could barely play Stars and Stripes when we first met them?
Also, since when does the band decide how long halftime takes?
Exactly.
That's a good point.
So, the one good thing I will give this movie is when they all come back out and they're all dressed, you know, and go to play football against the actual football players from the other team, they don't all of a sudden start winning. You know, they actually...
Shit get a kick out of them.
Yeah, they actually show like, yeah, this is... These guys would get their asses handed to them. And then, you know, you would think it maybe be a story of, oh, they rallied together, blah, blah, blah. You don't need this stuff. But they totally throw that out the window, because then the scientists come over with a portable version of the smart thing. And then they start using it on everyone. They turn the game around with apparently very illegal stuff in the game of football. Dancing.
Yeah, isn't that last play specifically?
Yeah.
Was anyone beating their wife though?
No.
Then it's fine.
Yeah,
they get away with it.
No, it'd be the other way around. If they were beating their wife, they would only get a one-game suspension. Using a drum to go down the field to avoid being tackled would be a half-season suspension.
That's a 2-year suspension.
So, yeah.
Immediate expulsion.
So for some reason, Ernest is able to run on this drum while holding onto the football and avoid getting tackled while jumping over and still doing this. And then it gets to the end, and the very last guy is the one that somehow finally figures out how to take him off his feet. And then... somehow the ball must go like 30 feet in the air or higher, maybe 100, to where Ernest can fall to the ground and then crawl and catch it in the end zone for the game-winning touchdown, which pisses off the coach. And then everybody unites and celebrates because the school has been saved. And even though no lessons were learned because they all cheated.
No lessons were learned.
To have it happen. You know, you have to cheat to win, is what I learned from this movie.
Yes. So. Let it be known, if I had written this movie and everything stayed the same up until the football game and they came out in the second half, I would have ended it where they just got slaughtered. It's like, Ernest this is the worst plan anyone's ever had.
Ernest gives a rousing speech of just like how they have to dig deep and they can do it. He believes in them. And then the first play of the game, the center just gets his head ripped off, and it's Ernest breaks a collarbone getting sacked, and that's how it really should have gone.
Yep.
This movie is awful.
It's pretty bad.
I will defend any of the movies Ernest movies that I watched as a kid. I think Camp, from what I remember Camp being very good. Of course, I haven't seen these in 25 years, so let's say that. But
things change as time goes. Yeah. Obviously,
I'm sure I won't be watching them as an adult and being like, you know what, these are pretty good. But at least for how it goes for, like, you know, childhood entertainment and being a kid and watching it, there, I could definitely at least remember there being a step up in quality for those movies. And I guess that's probably the reason why this went direct to video and the other ones probably actually had like theatrical releases.
Yeah.
But
and this definitely seemed like a script that was left on the floor because they make a reference in it to WrestleMania 6, which had taken place at least 3 years, if my math is right, before this movie was released. So it wouldn't have been like, it would have been something if someone wrote it when Ernest movies were most popular, would have been a timely reference, you know.
Speaking of that scene, why does this school have a wrestling ring?
A WWF style wrestling ring.
Yeah. Because the movie was written in 1991 when the WWF was at its, you know, most popular at that time. Before the Attitude Era, and the guy thought, oh, it'd be a good thing. Probably when they originally wrote it, they thought, maybe we can get a wrestler to make a cameo in this.
And they did not.
And they did not. I'm assuming at the time, Hogan would have been game, because that man will do anything for money. rest in peace, Pastamania.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I think all that stuff was someone had written this and early 90s, late 80s, when WWF was at its most popular with those characters. And then when it got to 1994, and none of those cartoon-esque characters were still in the WWE, we were in the middle of the Bret Hart run as champion, it didn't make sense anymore. So it definitely felt like, oh, we need to make a movie. Jim Varney needs some money. You know, let's go.
But in terms of a school that's in financial hardship, first thing that should go is the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
Well, usually what happens is the music department goes first.
Yeah. And let's be honest. They're never going to close a school with a predominantly white population.
Right. And especially a really good football team.
Yeah.
That usually brings in some good bucks. But I remember... When I first started watching this movie and I saw a young William Sasso was in it, I'm not going to lie, I was a little like, oh, that's cool. I want to see Will Sasso as a kid. It was probably one of his first roles because I like him. I used to listen to a podcast of his and I was excited and my excitement quickly turned to disdain because, oh my God, is he super annoying in this movie. this guy hams it up like nobody's business.
All he does is laugh throughout the whole thing. Yeah.
He's like the power, like Bulk and Skull from Power Rangers.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's pretty much it's the amalgamation of them two. Yeah. Where he says nothing and just laughs. And even when he's not in the scene, you hear his laugh.
Yeah, they definitely used his laugh as like ADR.
Yes, it is, and it reminds me, the first time I ever saw Will Sasso and I didn't know it was him was Beverly Hills Ninja, and he's the he's an ink printer, I believe, and he does the same laugh, just like this really, really obnoxious laugh, and I don't know how people can stand that. It's very, and again, I think he's very funny. The stuff, he had some pretty funny bits on Mad TV, and again, his podcast, the 10-minute podcast, I loved it. But, oh my God, I messaged you, Anna, like, I can't do this. This is too difficult to get through.
Okay, speaking of which, Dan, be honest, how far did you get into this movie?
All right, I'll be honest.
What was the last thing you remember?
I got pretty far. I got about an hour in.
Okay.
So the last thing I remember was him... the last thing I remember is him trying to open the booklet with the pencil.
Okay.
So that's pretty far.
That's pretty far. Yeah, you missed the third act.
Yeah, there was only 20 minutes left.
Yeah.
25 minutes, so...
Yeah, so
I ran out of time. I told you guys before the recording, I saw three terrible movies today. 12 Strong, the Horse Soldiers of Afghanistan or whatever. This movie, Ernest goes to school, and The Predator. So while I was watching this movie, I made my reservation to go see The Predator. I was like, I can't be here for this anymore. I gotta go out. So I think in my first viewing, I only made it 30 minutes in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. You got to see the only joke in the movie that made me chuckle when he was talking to his tools and he picked up the one and was like, coping saw, you seem to be handling this well.
Yes, I did see that.
That was the only joke in the movie that made me laugh. And I gotta believe that scene was definitely them just put a bunch of tools in front of Jim Varney and would just like do something.
Action.
Because yeah. that is much better than any writing at any point in that movie.
This movie, it like Anthony said, it made sense in terms of the overall plot where Ernest needs to go get his diploma so he could keep his job. Yeah. And like that's a point A to point B. That's, you know, that's good, right? Like, I think for this type of movie, you wouldn't even give it that much credit that it would have a cohesive plot like that. It would just be Ernest getting into wacky situations at the school with really nothing happening.
Yeah.
So I give it credit for that. But
if this movie was like Billy Madison before Billy Madison, so like we see him like fuck up in all his classes, you know, he does bombs a math test, he doesn't know history, right. He like burns something in home ec or something like that.
Right. Or like
then you see the progression of him getting better without like a brainwashing mechanism or whatever. And you actually see the progression of him actually learning these things. It would be much more interesting.
Yes. And you were right when you alluded to the other Ernest movies just having much better production. Does this movie, it seemed like a B horror movie. Like its production value was very grainy and just really, it was like poorly shot, I would say.
Yeah. I will say that we also watched this together. We watched it on a grainy YouTube video. So
I think that's what added to that effect.
Yeah, I think obviously it wasn't the best quality. It was probably like, you know, low SD. So it definitely wasn't HD quality or even like 720p or anything like that.
I just remember definitely Saves Christmas. I just remember that actually being like a good quality movie. You know what I mean? Like it was shot well. It had special, like the special effects weren't even that bad. Even Scared Stupid had really good practical effects at times. Mm-hmm.
This movie is definitely cheap sets throughout.
Yes, exactly. And it reminded me, this was basically an episode of Pee-wee's Playhouse. Sure. With like the weird, the cowboy scene, and like he gets with the vacuum cleaner and he's tearing apart the vacuum cleaner. It was just like very silly, but not good silly.
It was like embarrassing, silly.
Yes.
But you kind of feel embarrassed for Jim Varney.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he does his best. You could tell he's, you know, he stays in character. He gives it his 100% effort.
Yeah, it's essentially like it felt like, you know, he was the one, you know, most invested in the movie itself. You know, it didn't seem like the production was heavily invested. They may have been, you know, we weren't on set, but,
right.
You know, the writing seemed like it was throwaway script. Even at the only times any of the character actors involved seemed interesting was that montage that was supposed to be funny when it was the three nerds in Ernest. That was the only time it seemed like, because the scientists were supposed to be big, you know, supporting actors, but were just fell flat in the movie. But
there was actually one part that I actually kind of laughed at, and it's making me laugh now thinking about it. When Ernest is online for lunch, and he's asking if the lunch man. I'm only used to saying lunch lady.
Yeah.
So is it lunch man? I don't know. But he's asking the gentleman if he has any like hollandaise sauce for the meatloaf and stuff like that. So the guy goes, I have ketchup. I like to eat with that. And he gives him this really degrading look. It's like, I bet you do. And it's like fat shaming.
Yeah. Jim Varney he's played that character so much at that point that, you know, he can, he knows how to play the opposite of that character.
Yeah.
You know, well enough to pull off the smart scenes. It was just everything else around it was god awful.
I think the part that bothered me the most is that he got to wear his hat in school at all times. You're never allowed to wear your hat in high school or any school. Unless it's part of uniform, I guess. But I don't think you ever get to do that.
You could wear it in college. Yeah.
I don't even think true. I ever did that.
You can,
I respected the system. I was a good boy.
Yeah, and look where that got us in terms of foul goal.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to mention something that you had mentioned in text that we haven't talked about yet. When one of the teachers that we meet, very few teachers that we do meet, but one we do, is set up sort of like a love interest, although it never really pays off. I don't really remember.
No, maybe it doesn't blossom really.
And he has this whole moment where he like sees her and he instantly falls in love.
There's a dance scene, like a dream scene.
Is she maybe 10 years older than him?
She looks old. Like they didn't even bother to get like, this sounds mean. They didn't bother to get an attractive woman to do it, you know? Yeah. And I guess that you could kind of give it credit for, because it, you know, Is Ernest really going to get like score 10? Not really. Right. So, they could have gotten someone a little younger, you know, more.
Could have been the same age, just better looking. And he doesn't even have to like get the girl, just like, you know, he falls in love with her and she, you know, doesn't not even necessarily rejects him, but like she's not into it, but she wants to see him succeed.
Okay.
So she helps him. You know, it could be a platonic relationship.
It doesn't need to be like Billy Madison where
she doesn't have to nail the teacher.
Right. So yeah, I saw that. I was like, really?
She's in maybe three scenes.
Yeah, it's the introduction scene, when he fucks up, and then that's pretty much it. Yeah, she's talking with the principal.
Was she the music teacher? Is that what she was?
Yeah. And then she hands her job right over to Ernest.
Yeah.
She's supposed to lead the band.
He has like one really good class. Session. And then he's all of a sudden the drum major.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, she washes her hands of the whole operation.
Which I guess is, what is it? Work smarter, not harder kind of thing. Yeah. Like, I'll let this dude do it. I'll get paid. It's great. So we're giving, you know, maybe we're not giving her enough credit. She figured it out.
So is this the worst movie we've watched for the podcast?
Yes.
No. I still think Skyscraper takes the cake. At least with Jim Varney, you get somewhat decent acting. You know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. With Anna Nicole Smith, it was like watching cardboard. that was so bad. excuse me for still believing in Sunday walks and babies.
Still a lot better than most lines written in this movie, though.
No, come on. Come on. Just because you see her boobs, that doesn't save that movie. I'm sorry.
No.
Although it did have Fabio in it, right?
Malibu. How dare you, sir?
It's the same thing. Come on.
Fabio is not great at Joust.
Fabio might have been a better actor, actually. So, I guess I'm disrespecting Fabio there. Come on. You're going to say this is worse than Skyscraper?
It's close, man.
Yeah,
Skyscraper had one shot of her riding a helicopter, and they just reused it 10 times. At least this one tried.
Yeah.
Come on.
At least Jim Varney is trying in this, we'll say.
It is definitely recency bias.
Yeah, no, definitely. I would have to go back and watch Skyscraper, but I already watched it twice, so that's not happening.
Nope.
You don't.
I will say this is like the first movie that I probably watched this with enough time to watch it again, and I was like, nope, that ain't happening.
Yeah, well, as we figured out, I didn't even finish it, so.
Yeah, this is the first one I've watched only once of the movie.
There you go.
So.
I've never watched more than once.
I didn't need to watch Species twice. I've seen that plenty of times.
But at the same token, watching all of these movies, it's the first time I've ever seen them. So it is kind of opening me up to some real shitty movies.
There you go.
Yeah,
we're trying to educate by subjecting ourselves to crap.
That's my whole life, really. I was looking at my A-list ticket purchases.
Sure.
I've only seen maybe two good movies since I've joined that.
I joined that, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, very good. You've welcome aboard. But everything I've seen has just been absolute dreck. Not good.
Well, there are hopefully brighter days ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the same time, I'm getting out of the house and I get to see something, so that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But no, this movie, in my opinion, is not the worst we've seen.
Okay. So like second to worst, though?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get it wrong.
Land That Time Forgot.
The Land That Time Forgot. And that's including that, and that was real bad.
Yeah,
that was really bad.
That feels like such a long time ago.
That was our first movie.
Yeah, back in June.
Yeah, so, second worst. It was pretty painful.
Yeah, I think it's there. It's either second worst or it's the worst. I like Jim Varney. Sad that we lost him so young.
Yes, rest in peace.
And he does try very hard in this movie. You know, he's doing his thing. This movie doesn't suck because of him.
Yeah, he doesn't quit.
But, yeah, it's not very good. And it's obvious that this was probably past the prime of Ernest as a character and as a gimmick, I guess.
It was coming to an end.
Yeah. This was after Scared Stupid was 91. So this was already 3 years later. Mm-hmm. And he had already been Jed Clampett in the Beverly Hillbillies movie.
Oh. There you go.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to see how much money this movie made, but it must have been like direct-to-video.
Yeah, it didn't make any money.
Okay. So that sucks, I guess.
Yeah, but straight to DVD or video at that point.
VHS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah, I feel like that's pretty much it for that, right?
Yeah.
I
mean,
yep.
Yeah.
What else is there to say about this movie?
Nothing. I was looking up to see if there's any goofs, but there are none.
This whole film is a goof if you think about it.
All right, so I guess it's time for they called this a trivia contest, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do this.
All right. So who went first?
Just real quick. The only thing that trivia, and this isn't even trivia, just says along with Mr. Bean and Pee Wee Herman, Ernest P. Worrell is considered to be one of the greatest family entertainers of all time. That's not trivia. That's like an opinion.
It's an opinion.
Right. That's how bad this movie was.
Was that written by Jay Varney?
I don't know. I don't know. connection was interrupted, so I can't even look at it. But, yeah, all right, on to the trivia.
Okay. So who went first?
I think I did.
Okay, so it'll be Mark first. Okay, so if...
It doesn't matter anyway. I'm not going to win, so...
If this is your first episode of They Called This a Movie, every week we have about 8 questions of two different categories. Usually it's specifically about the movie and then one that's slightly related but not quite. So this week we have Ernest Goes to School. So for the two categories, we have Ernest / Jim Varney trivia. And the second is high school movie trivia.
Okay.
I think Mark's going to do well on this one.
I may.
Hopefully
I'll do better than trivia about my own website.
Which... Yeah, that did not go well.
All right. Hit okay. me.
So Mark goes first. Yes. All right. Ernest trivia first.
Got it.
How many Ernest movies, theatrical releases, and direct-to-video were made?
I'm going to take a stab in the dark because there's probably going to be one or two I missed. I'm going to say 7.
That's incorrect. Dan, can you steal?
7 was my answer, too. I'm going to go 8.
Incorrect. The answer was 10.
Ooh.
10 wow. movies. Hmm. All right. No one gets a point there.
Good for him.
Yeah.
So, Dan, your question.
Okay.
Which Ernest movie made the most money in domestic gross?
I'm going to go with Scared Stupid.
Incorrect.
Wow.
Mark, can you steal?
Goes to Camp.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Ernest Saves Christmas. 28 oh, wow. million.
28 mil.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I wonder what the budget for that movie was.
Do not know.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to high school movie trivia. Dan, your first question of this. Who did Ferris Bueller pretend to be at Chicago's Shea Key restaurant?
I just watched this movie, too. He was he like the... I don't remember the name. Wasn't he the Sausage King or something like that?
Gonna need the name.
Yeah, I don't know. I just watched it. I didn't like that movie. I'm sorry.
All right. That's incorrect. Yeah. Mark, can you steal?
Yeah. All I know is it's the Sausage King of Chicago, but yeah. I don't know the name.
Oh, my goodness.
Greg Zelensky.
Abe Froman, Sausage okay. King of Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just watched that movie a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a few years, but I should have known that.
Yes, you should have. Okay, Mark.
Yes.
What Shakespeare play is 10 Things I Hate About You based on?
Taming of the Shrew.
Yay! There we go. It took us 4 questions, but we finally got a right answer.
Yay!
This really just shows how little we know about movies, really.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So much disappointment in that answer.
Yeah, someone that doesn't have to take the questions.
That's true. Well, you guys are welcome to ever decide to do a trivia contest.
I'm far too lazy. You know this.
Okay, Mark, we are back to Ernest / Jim Varney trivia.
Yeah.
Ernest became a popular character on television in commercials, originally advertising what products?
Meliola?
No, incorrect.
I thought Dan gave away that answer.
That's what I thought too before. What did he... It was a cleaning product, wasn't it?
Is that your answer?
Well, did you need the exact product?
No.
All right, I'm going to say cleaning products.
It's incorrect.
Okay.
The answer is dairy products.
Oh, okay, that makes some sense.
Does it? Why? I need to know that.
Well, no, just the, you know, back then in that time frame, the whole push for drink milk and all that stuff So you would have like some kind of character, you know, push for that product at the time.
Okay.
You know, so it'd be memorable.
Sure.
I'll go with that.
Okay. Next Ernest/Jim Varney trivia is for Dan. Right?
Okay.
You might get this one. So it's lined up perfectly. Hopefully. What was the name of the character Jim Varney played on The Simpsons?
Oh. The son's name is Cooter. Right? Damn it. I'm going to go with Cooter.
Cooter is correct.
Oh, nice. All right, cool.
All right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that, so.
It's tied 1-1.
Nice. I like it.
Okay. So our final duo of high school movie trivia.
You might have to use the tiebreaker.
Yeah, we might. So, Dan.
Okay.
Why did Claire, Molly Ringwald's character, have to serve detention in The Breakfast Club?
I've never seen this movie. She got caught cheating on a test.
Incorrect. Good answer, though.
Okay.
Mark, can you steal?
Gotta remember in all the other ones.
That's why I picked her.
Was it, was she dressed too provocatively? I don't know.
Incorrect.
That was a good guess, too.
She skipped class to go shopping.
Okay.
Okay, that makes sense, I guess.
All right. Funny part is I could probably run through most of the other ones.
I couldn't. I've never seen that movie.
Oh, yeah, well, Bender was there because he was Bender.
Yeah.
Emilio Estevez taped the kids' butt cheeks together.
Yeah.
Anthony Michael Hall brought a gun to school.
Exactly.
And Ali Sheedy
get you more than detention.
Yeah, and Ali Sheedy didn't do anything. She was there because she was bored.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's tied 1-1.
Okay.
Mark?
Yes.
So last question before we go into the tiebreaker. What is the name of the water park in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Oh, Jesus. We might have to go to that tiebreaker unless Dan knows this, because...
I do not.
I actually thought these high school movie trivia questions were easier than usual.
Well, of the high school movie movies, Bill and Ted may have been the one I've seen the least, so...
I wasn't going to do, like, 3 questions on She's All That, Mark.
No, I'm talking like... I'm talking like we're even saying John Hughes movies. There's a bunch of high school John Hughes movies that I saw a lot more than I saw Bill and Ted. No, I have no guess. I'm excited for the tiebreaker.
Is it a Wet and Wild theme park?
No, the correct answer is Waterloo, which is important because
Jesus.
Who goes there?
Because Napoleon goes there. Yeah. I should have remembered that. Oh,
I just thought Wild because Wild Stallions.
I had a feeling it had something to do with history, but I couldn't think of what they would have tied it to. Shit.
We are awesome.
Tiebreaker.
All right, go to the tiebreaker.
It was scripted. We wanted to use the tiebreaker at some point, so me and Dan threw the trivia to make sure it was
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. All right. Come on. Hit us. Let's get this over.
All right.
I'm done looking like a fool.
See, I didn't think you guys were going to tie, so I think this might lean Mark a little bit, or it could wind up being that we wind up with a tie.
Okay, that's fine.
So put these John Hughes movies in order based on release date from earliest to most recent. There's four of them.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles.
All right. Who's going first?
Let's go Mark.
Okay. All right.
Because I think this favors him.
Yeah. So I believe it goes, the first two are the only ones I'm confused about. I think it's 16 Candles first. I think Ferris comes next, and then, the only one I'm absolutely sure is, I'm pretty sure Pretty in Pink's the last one. So we'll go 16 Candles, Ferris, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink.
Okay. Dan, what is your answer?
I also think that 16 Candles came first, then Ferris, then I'm going to say, Pretty in Pink and Breakfast Club.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have our first tie. The correct order is 16 Candles.
Okay, so we both got that.
The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
Pretty in Pink. And Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So the tiebreaker to now break ties.
Yay, we tied.
I've never seen any of those movies. Oh, no, I saw Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That was about it.
Interesting. We might have to start another podcast where we watch good movies.
Yeah. Things Dan has finally gets to see.
Yeah, I at least got the Ringwald movies in order, correct?
I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah, because it was 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so that's gonna wrap it up this week for They Called This a Movie. We will try not to watch a single Ernest movie ever again. the ones we have seen, we will blissfully believe that they're as good as they were when we were kids.
We will cherish those forever.
Yes. Yep.
So once again, we mentioned last week, this is a bi-weekly podcast. This comes out every 2 weeks. Apparently bi-weekly means both every 2 weeks and twice a week. So the English language fails us once again. So every 2 weeks. So this is coming out the week of the 29th or the 20th. I guess it comes out on the 28th because that's Thursdays. We always drop them on. So the next one will be in October, which means we are very lucky people that for the month of October, we're not going to have to decide on our movie watching based on a new release. We just got to watch horror movies.
Yeah.
So
I'm pumped.
The world is our oyster, so to speak.
Yes.
So like next,
kids in a candy store.
Yes. So next week we will be reviewing a shitty horror movie. But I think we're probably going to be nice to ourselves and pick some ones that we want to talk about. It's because, like I said, the world is our oyster this week. But
we've earned it.
Yes. And also on They Call This a Movie weeks, we have the Main Damie podcast, which will also air on Thursdays. And both of these you can find on just about every podcast streaming service. They both have different feeds. So if you want to subscribe to the both, you have to look for both of them. You could search anything, just look for They Called This a Movie or the Main Damie podcast, and you could easily find them. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at the Main Damie. You can find us all there. If you have any questions or comments, you could hit us up at themaindamie@gmail.com. If you have a movie you'd want to suggest for us to watch, feel free. If you want to review us on iTunes, that always helps gain awareness and so on and so forth. Dan, what do you want to plug?
Actually, as of right now, I don't have anything to plug.
No MCU?
Not as of right now. Our microphone broke, so we need to get a new microphone.
Oh, no. What happened? Is it the wire?
I think the jack broke. Yeah. The USB. So I just
you just got to get a new wire.
Yeah, I just need to get a new USB that connects to the. It's very small things, but I'll never take care of because I'm lazy.
Well, at least it's not a microphone problem.
Right. Yeah. It's just yeah. But no, I mean, you could follow me on Twitter at daquino122. That's about it, unfortunately.
Okay. Mark, what are you plugging?
Yeah, so off the mark tweet. You can watch and read and follow my dumb bullshit that goes on there. Stranger Damies every Wednesday. We're going to be doing our latest live session. It'll be the next few episodes. And then right before our extra live stream, we'll do a Talking to Strangers episode. And between those brackets, we're going to have the one-shot. There's going to be DM'd by Anthony here. So that should be fun.
Anthony, you're going to love my character's name, by the way.
I honestly cannot wait. Because, I still have some more planning to do, but it's going to be fun.
It brings me so much joy, and I cannot wait to tell you.
And then, you know, that leads into our Extra Life stream, which, you know, becoming our first weekend in November, where we'll play video games for 24 hours to support the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. The donation page is live, but I don't have all the particulars in there. It still has a lot of last year's information. That should be, you know, being fixed up this weekend. And then Monday, there should be a URL and all out that'll be on the website and all the family of Twitter accounts. And also there'll probably be a little tag at the beginning and end of most of our podcasts starting at least with the first Stranger Damies. Because we're going to do our next session live for Stranger Damies on the Extra Life stream on top of playing video games for the rest of the time there. So I'm really excited. It gives me a good bit of time to actually write something a little epic. You know, and, you know, be able to plan for a whole bunch of contingencies just in case if you guys decide to go off on a different path that I'm not expecting. I at least have a lot of time to plan for that because there are going to be some decisions coming up soon. So that should be fun. That's about it on my end. Just keep an eye out for all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah, and that's all the things that we have going on. We have a lot of stuff coming up. Once October hits, we're going to be very busy. We have, personally, we're all going to Comic-Con. So hopefully we'll have some content that we can parlay out of that. We're all going to be in attendance.
I'm sure we will.
We're going to be in attendance of the Critical Role live session. That's going to be in New York in the beginning of October. And then we have Extra Life just like less than a month later. Yep. So it's going to be a great couple of months. And then 31 Days of Horror is going to be right around the corner. It's a few days. Is it a week?
It's exciting times coming ahead.
Yeah. So, a week from this past Monday when you're listening to this. So I got to start thinking about which movies I'm going to start watching. So I'm excited because this is my favorite time of the year on the site. My chance to watch. I even decide not to watch certain horror movies in preparation, knowing that I'll be able to watch them in October. So there are a few on Netflix that I've been wanting to watch that I haven't, that I'm finally going to get a chance to. And I am at AntDelvec on Twitter, where you can find me. And that's basically the show today. So for Dan Aquino and for Mark Myers, this is Anthony DelVecchio telling Coke Sams, director of Ernest Goes to School, to go fuck himself.